Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In Joshua chapter 14, we read about Caleb receiving an inheritance beginning in verse 6. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, for these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. And it goes on to the rest of the chapter. In this passage, we read this verse, the end of verse 8. Joshua chapter 14, verse 8 says this, I wholly followed the Lord. That's Caleb's testimony. Caleb's testimony in Canaan when he was recounting the time that he and 11 other spies went to search Canaan was, I wholly followed the Lord. I wholly followed the Lord. He did that in spite of the fact that 10 of those spies were dead set against going in there. Now I want to ask you a question today. Can you honestly say, I wholly followed the Lord? That's the question for you. It's very interesting to learn about Caleb, and we're going to learn more about him. And it's very interesting to speak about these things that God did. But the question, really compelling question today is, can you honestly say, I wholly followed the Lord? Well, you can say that if these four things are true. Number one, you have done what God called you to do. Look in verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. You see, when Moses sent the spies into Canaan, it was not for them to see if Israel could take the land and destroy the inhabitants. That isn't what they went in there for. They went in there to check out the conditions so that they could take it, you see. They went in there to make sure how they were going to approach those cities. Some were walled, some were open. They were going to protect areas where there was fruit. They could go not only protect those areas, but as they were fighting, they could go into those areas where there was fruit, and they'd have something to eat in order to replenish their supply of food And they would have to know where the water sources were so that they could always have an ample supply of water and keep themselves, therefore, nourished and hydrated. They'd have to know the terrain, determine where they're going to have to make certain approaches. They wouldn't want to come over a hill and not know what was on the other side and find out that there was an enemy present. They'd want to know that they could go around that hill and perhaps even come up from behind and set an ambush. They'd have to know what kind of rivers were there and the best place to ford those rivers. You see, there's all kinds of things that had to be learned in order for Moses and the tribes to go in there and be able to have a successful campaign against the inhabitants and destroy them and actually occupy and take the land. They'd have to determine, do we start here? Do we start here? Which of these cities do we not need to knock out? Where do we find concentrations of people that are in some sort of league with other people that are there so we'll know how sizable the forces may be? We may attack a small town, find out we've got a big enemy against us. So they had to do all of this. It was to check out the conditions so that they could take the land. You know, and Joshua and Caleb are the only two of those 12 spies who did what they were told to do. They're the only ones. In other words, there were 12 of them altogether. 1/6, 2 out of 12 did what they were told to do. Most Christians today have no idea whatsoever what God has called them to do. And they don't seem to care. And my question to you is, are you one of those? You can't even imagine how many times I have visited with people and they say, well, I know that God has something for me to do. That's the way they put it. They'll say, God has a purpose for my life, or I know that God has something for me to do. He wouldn't have left me here if God didn't have something for me to do. And they say it as sort of a recognition that based on circumstances that have happened in their lives, they would have been dead if God didn't spare their lives. And since heaven is their home, there was no reason for God to spare them unless God was going to use them down here to do something. But beyond that, they are a big clueless question mark as to what it is God would have them to do. And you know what the problem is? They are not wholly following the Lord. Now, if you are one of those that, you know, you believe you're down here because God has something for you to do, otherwise you'd be in heaven and you don't have a clue what it is, you're not wholly following the Lord. That's right. But you don't even know whether you're following the Lord. All you know is that you're saved and that you go to church on Sunday. And I'm going to tell you, God has more for you to do than just get saved and go to church on Sunday. You would think to listen to some of the preaching, and we have to deal with the whole counsel of God, so I certainly don't neglect to preach on these things from time to time. But I'm telling you honestly, when I first started going to church as a young man, you would have thought that getting saved, going to church, and tithing were the only three subjects in the Bible. And you know, it's no wonder that sometimes people are clueless about what it is that God wants them to do, because they think as long as I got saved, go to church, and tithe, I'm doing all God ever wanted me to do. But that's not true. The local church functions just like a body, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that God set the members in the body as it hath pleased him. God has something for you to do. Now, it may not be that you're prepared for what he has for you to do, but he may be preparing you for what he wants you to do, and that requires faithfulness, and that requires attendance, and that requires surrender, and that requires obedience, and that requires submission, and all those other things so that God can then mold you. In praying this morning, I was saying to the Lord, it's amazing, but I'm still being molded. I'm still on the potter's wheel. This vessel's not done yet. God still has his hand in molding and conforming me to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure, because we're in these vessels of clay, that it's going to remain that way until I die. I won't be perfectly formed the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and neither will you until that time that we get a glorified body. But in the meantime, we are to occupy till he comes. We are to be about doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it may very well be that he wants you to run sound. It may be that he wants you involved in the music ministry. It may be that he wants you playing piano. It may be that he wants you singing specials. It may be that he wants you working in the nursery. It may be that he wants you teaching Sunday school. It may be that there's a special ministry that takes your calling, your talent, your ability to further. It may very well be that God wants you volunteering to clean or keeping the grounds or whatever the case may be. all of those things are very functional in a church. And all of that starts with faithfulness. All right? Listen, you cannot, like Caleb, honestly say, I wholly follow the Lord, if you have not done or begun to do what God has called you to do. When God called me into the ministry, you know what the call to the ministry is? Or as one man said, the call to preach is a call to prepare. That's the way to put it. The call to preach is a call to prepare. When I was called to preach, I began to study diligently, and then I had to leave. And I took my family, and we went off to Bible college for 3 years. I worked during the day and pouring concrete, and then I went to school 4 hours a night, four nights a week, studied diligently, and got involved in the other ministries of the church. That was hard. It was grueling. There was a lot of work, but afterwards I came out with some preparation, went into the pastorate, and began to pastor, and I noticed during that first 10-year period, the things that men had said were absolutely true. You are not going to be a pastor for 10 more years. You're going to be learning the pastorate. And I'll tell you, I'm still learning, but I know exactly what they were talking about. That was a 10-year molding period, even after all that other training. And I'm saying all that to say this, all of that preparation and all of that time of training and all of that time in the ministry, listen, was doing what God wanted me to do. Do you understand? Now, I'm not holding myself out as the example. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not standing up here today to say to you, I wholly follow the Lord, therefore you got to follow the Lord like I did. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, and please understand, it may be that all you're doing right now is going to church, tithing, and being faithful. That's part of your preparation, but that's not the completion of your call. It may very well be that soon or in some time in the future you'll be teaching a Sunday school class or involved in some ministry in more of a way on a mission trip or whatever the case may be to be used of the Lord. The preparation is part of following the Lord. That's the point. That's the point. Now listen, can you say, I wholly follow the Lord? You can if you have done what God called you to do. I pray that you're doing exactly what God has called you to do and that you know what it is. But listen, if you don't, then here's what to do. Get on your knees before the Lord in your house and say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. That's right. I don't know what it is, but I want to do it. And then ask the Lord what he wants you to do and then go do it. And listen, ask him, listen, he may not give you the long-term view of what it is he wants you to do. If he had given me the long-term view of what he wanted me to do, I might not have done it. I'll tell you, this road's been pretty rocky, pretty rough. But I could see the initial things, and so ask the Lord, what initially do you want me to do? You don't have to be a big shot for the Lord. You don't have to be that at all. You just have to do what he wants you to do, whatever that may be. God, what do you want me to do? And then go do it. And then you can honestly say, I wholly followed the Lord. I did what he asked me to do. All right, so you can say, I have wholly followed the Lord if you have done what God called you to do. All right, here's another one. You can say that I wholly followed the Lord if you are prepared right now to give account to the Lord. That's right. Right now to give account to the Lord. Joshua 14:7. The Bible says, Caleb said it, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. Watch it. And I brought him word again. I brought him word again. That's what he was supposed to do. He gave account. Listen, the spies were to reconnoiter and then bring word back to Moses based upon what they learned. And they saw where all the tribes were. They can tell you where the Canaanites lived. They can tell you where the Jebusites lived. They can tell you where the Girgashites were, where the Perizzites were, where the Hivites were, where the Hittites were. They can tell you. They went all over that land and said, these folks are in these various regions. Here's some fruit. Here's some pomegranates. Here's some grapes. You know, talking about fertile soil and all that other kind of stuff. The woods, the trees and so forth, some of which they would use for bulwarks and some of which they might use for things like weapons and battering rams and other things of that nature, or to burn out a place. Okay, the spies were to reconnoiter and then bring word back to Moses based upon what they learned, and they did. Caleb gave a true report based upon the information he collected. He was faithful. That's right. Now, while you're here in the earth, you need to remember that you, just you, are going to bring word back to the Lord about your time down here. That's right. You are going to give account to the Lord. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us should give account of himself to God. I have to give account of myself. My wife has to give account of herself. Our children have to give account of themselves. And you have to give account of yourself. Are you prepared to account for your time of sojourning in the world? Or as in the case of Caleb, in the land. That's right. Have you wholly followed the Lord? Can you come back and say, okay, Lord, here's the report. You told me to go do this, and this is what I did. So I'm going to give an account. This is the word I'm going to bring back to you, okay? Then you told me to do this, and this is what I did, and there's the report. And this is what you told me to do, and I went and did this, and there's the report. You see, the old-timers had a saying, and it's good. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's right. As I've been doing morning devotions and praying and thinking about matters of the ministry and my own life, I'm thinking, you know, it's really narrowing down now to some very simple things. These little initials are not in any specific order. They're in the order that allows me to remember them the easiest, SWPPR. I may change the way that is because some of these, I think, precede others, but SWPPR. In other words, I believe there are five things that really, as far as serving God in the ministry, serving God faithfully, that need to be done. Study, that's the S. Witnessing, that's the W. Prayer, that's vital. Preaching, that's what I've been called to do. And R, okay? R, reading. Reading. There's a difference between studying the Bible and reading the Bible. Just getting up in the morning and reading the Bible. Reading through. And then prayer. So that's the good way to start. Reading and then prayer. Preaching, which is what I'm doing now. Witnessing, telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing how we have to remind ourselves to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit so we can talk to others about Jesus Christ. And study. Those main components right there accomplish such a great, great deal. Listen, I've got to give account of all this to the Lord. I've got to be about the things that he's called me to do, and I don't have to stress and press myself about those matters if, listen, God has called me into a certain thing and set this member in the body as it hath pleased him, and I apply myself to those things under the leadership of the Spirit of God and according to the Lord's strength, then I should be able to give a good account. And likewise, if you study and read and preaching may not be it, but witness, you certainly have those things to do, and be involved in those things that God has given you to do, witnessing and so forth. You know, then you're going to be able to give a good account to the Lord. But the question is, have you, watch it, wholly follow the Lord? You have a job to do, and the Lord will require your account. So it may be that you do know what God has called you to do, but you haven't done it. Well, you're going to stand before him. You're going to have to bring word back again. You're going to talk to the Lord about this, and nobody else is going to be with you. You're going to stand alone before him. All right, here's the next thing. In verse 7 at the end, Caleb said, I brought him word again. Watch it. As it was, watch it, in my heart. All right. Can you honestly say, I wholly follow the Lord? You can if you've done what God called you to do. You're prepared right now to give account to the Lord. And third, you have committed your heart to the things of God. As it was in my heart, Caleb said. Now listen, I doubt that the other spies were wimps. They're probably good, reliable men. As far as Moses was concerned, I mean, if he's going to send spies in there, he's not going to send, you know, novices in there. He's not going to send guys that are not reliable, people that he couldn't count on. I'm sure he sent some good guys in to reconnoiter. Yet, they weren't committed in their hearts to follow through on their assignment. In other words, when they came back, they were scared to fight. When Caleb came back, he was ready to fight. Why? Because he was committed. He was committed. He had made up his mind when he went in there to spy, as it was in mine heart, he was going to learn how to take the land, and then he was going to go back in there and take it. What he saw didn't change him one bit. It just made him more committed in his heart to go do the thing God wanted him to do. Now listen, listen. Are you committed in your heart to do whatever God demands of you? If not, then you're not wholly following the Lord. We had a missions conference a while back. It's been 6 months ago, I guess, now. And our main preacher was here, Pastor Keck, and he was preaching, and he said this. He said, I'm going to tell you, gentlemen, he was talking to the missionaries and those that might be interested in going to the mission field. He said, I'm going to tell you something. Your burden will not keep you on the field. It'll get you there, but it won't keep you there. Your call will not keep you on the field. It might get you there, but it's not going to keep you there. Your support from other churches and so forth will get you to the field, but it's not going to keep you there. There's one thing that will keep you on the field, and you know what that is? Commitment. Commitment. One thing that will keep you on the field. Commitment. And you know what? Caleb was committed, as it says, as it was in mine heart. Are you committed in your heart to do whatever God demands of you? If not, you're not wholly following the Lord. You may think you are, but you're not. If not, you are not wholly following the Lord. It's just partly. But let me tell you something. If you're committed in your heart to do whatever God demands of you, then you're wholly following the Lord. And I hope you are. I really, really do. All right, then one more situation here. You can honestly say, I wholly follow the Lord if you have done what God called you to do. You are prepared right now to give account to the Lord. You have committed your heart to the things of God. And then this, you have stood against the naysayers and held your ground. Look here again in Joshua chapter 14. And now look at verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. You see that? My brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. When the spies returned, the majority, that's 10, were too scared to fight. Now, there's no telling who instigated the rebellion, but most of the spies went along with it. Caleb, on the other hand, was not concerned about the majority. He wasn't concerned about the peer pressure. He wasn't concerned about the persuasiveness of men or any such thing. You know what? A whole lot of men today are moving in the wrong direction. Okay? But a whole bunch of men moving in the wrong direction could not sweep Caleb from the Lord. Well, he stood his ground against the naysayers. All right? Listen, if you have ever followed the Lord wholly, you have come against opposition from others. You made up a decision one time. You said, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to get my family to read my Bible. You sat down there, and all of a sudden, naysayers. And you said, well, if they're not going to, I'm not going to. Even God's people. You say, okay, here's the direction God wants me to go, and start going off that way, and people come up to you and say, man, are you crazy? You can't do that. I remember when I hate to be the, you know, use an illustration about myself because it sounds like I'm holding myself up as an example, and that's the last thing that I want to do. I know this clay. God knows this clay, and I'm not the example. Not at all. Not in the least. Let me just say this, though, that when I surrendered to the ministry and then knew that I had to go to school to prepare for the ministry, and I got ready to go, numbers of my friends came to me and said, you are crazy. You can't do this. You can't drag your family 12, 13 hours from here and go off to a school and do all this. But you know something? We didn't stop because of the naysayers, and I think now the naysayers are glad we didn't, okay? To their credit, they didn't understand. It looked crazy to them that a guy that had been president of a bank is now going to go off to a school and you know, pour concrete and go to school at night and learn the ministry. It just didn't even seem plausible. And I understand that. I really do. I don't hold anything against any of them. I think they were genuinely concerned for my wife. They were genuinely concerned for my children, and I appreciate that. But may I tell you something? That isn't what God called me to do. I had to hold the ground. These spies, they had little children that were going to go into that land, and they saw those giants, and they were scared. I think it's too bad that they turned against the Lord, but I think they were genuinely concerned about their wives and their children. But they had to understand that there was a higher calling from God Almighty, and they did not follow that call. Listen, until you can stand against the pressure, of others and rely upon God solely, you're not wholly following the Lord. You're following men. You're being persuaded by men. You know why people are going to by droves to the mega churches right now? They're following men. But I know people, and so do you. They're fickle. They're fickle. This is popular now. It won't be a few years from now. They'll run from it to go to something else. Why? Because they're doing what the majority is doing. They're following the 10 spies. They're too scared to fight. They don't want to. They can't stand. They don't even know what God has called them to do. But if they did, they can't stand and hold their ground because they're too afraid of man's opinion. They're too afraid of ridicule. They're too afraid of the pressure. Now, listen, I would love for you to be able to say, I wholly follow the Lord. But in order to do that, you're going to have to do what God calls you to do. You're going to have to prepare right now to give account to the Lord. You're going to have to commit your heart to the things of God, and you're going to have to stand against the naysayers and hold your ground. Now, listen, in Joshua chapter 14 and through the rest of the chapter, which we read at the beginning of the broadcast, Caleb was given an inheritance all his own. He outlived all the other males over 20 years old that wandered in the wilderness. And he was just as strong after 40 years of wandering and 5 years of fighting in Canaan as he was when he spied out the land. And that's because the Lord was with him. He had the strength of the Lord. And I want to say this to you as we wrap it up. If you will wholly follow the Lord, you will have an inheritance following your judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. You will have a lifelong, fruitful ministry for the Lord. Because you'll be where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do. And you will be able to rely upon the strength and help of the Lord to get your work done for Him. So why wouldn't you want to wholly follow the Lord? Caleb was right. Joshua was right. You need to be right. You need to be right. Wholly follow the Lord. He'll give you the strength to do it. You'll be prepared to give account at your judgment. You'll have a lifelong, fruitful ministry. I pray that you will wholly follow the Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.